Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m., and we have our guest Mark Walker in the studio today. He's here with AICS, and you can call in anytime during this program to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Mark, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, we're talking about AICS, but specifically mental health services. So before we get into what services you all provide at the Behavioral Health Clinic, do give me a sense of how this organization has evolved over the years.
Sure. My wife and I came to Wrangell in 1978, and I was actually working at that time for the city of Ketchikan. The department was called Gateway Human Services, and they provided mental health services to most of southern southeast. My job, being placed out in Wrangell, was to provide all of the behavioral health, or at that time it was mental health services, to Wrangell, Petersburg, and the community of Cake. And I itinerated between those three locations every month to provide services. We locally wanted to see an expansion of our services. So in 1989, we formed a nonprofit company and applied to the state for a grant to provide mental health services. And we were fortunate enough to receive a grant and began providing services in FY90. The following year, we expanded our services to provide a community-based support services for individuals and families that had developmental disabilities. And in the mid-1990s, we expanded further to providing home-based services, chore services, respite services to seniors, frail, elderly individuals, so that they could remain in their home as long as possible. Then in 1998, I teamed up with Steve Prusunka, and we developed the Crossings Wilderness Program, which has been a great success and continues to this day. In the early 2000s, I think 2002, 2003, we added substance abuse services. So now we became a behavioral health provider, and behavioral health is really a combination of mental health and substance abuse services. There was a crisis in terms of funding of medical care in those years as well, and we began assumed oversight and responsibility to provide primary care in 2004. We also applied to the federal government at that time to become what's called a federally qualified health clinic, and we were successful in receiving those special federal monies, which really provided a lot more financial support and sustainability to our service network here. Then in 2007, we purchased the local dental clinic, and we included those dental services in our scope of providing services. And then finally, to sort of round out the various community-based healthcare services, in 2009, we opened our pharmacy. We also expanded beyond the borders of Wrangell, and we began providing a number of these services also in northern Prince of Wales to the communities of Kaufman Cove, Naugatuy, Point Baker, Point Protection, Whale Pass, and Edna Bay.
Yeah, can you tell me what do those services look like over there? What kind of facility do they have?
Well, we assisted the community of Kaufman Cove. We actually wrote a grant for them, and but they built and maintain a clinic there, and out of that clinic we can provide behavioral health, medical and dental services. That's the only freestanding building that we have over there on Prince of Wales. In other instances, we provide itinerant services in various other community-based buildings that may be available in each of those locations. In 2009 or so, the community of Gustavus asked us to assume responsibility for their medical services. We wrote a grant to the federal government and also were funded so that we could expand there. And we include the community, the location of Excursion Inlet in the services that we provide up in that location. Finally, in 2015, in Juneau, the Front Street Clinic was being run by a private nonprofit, and they were having financial difficulty. They asked us to come in and provide management services. We turned that operation to become more financially successful, and then they asked us to merge that service into AICS, which we did in 2016. So, and during that time, I was also talking to Search about merging the entire AICS operation into to the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. And that merger was completed in 2017. And now in 2019, Wrangell Medical Center merged with Search, and that has brought about the opportunity now for us to combine both of our facilities, a clinic and a new hospital, into one continuous facility that will be a great medical campus at the site of where our current primary care clinic is. So that kind of completes the cycle of our development and final merger with Search. And so we're very excited about the sustainability of these services for the community. One other thing that I didn't mention is that upon the merger of AICS with Search, we established a foundation, the Walker Foundation, and that foundation is meant to provide ongoing support for healthcare related activities in perpetuity for the community of Wrangell.
Okay, absolutely. So Mark, yeah, you mentioned a lot about the history and how this has evolved and how this, you know, it involves so many different aspects of healthcare. But I would like to know, you know, it seems like you knew what you were doing if you were able to expand so much and in other parts of Southeast Alaska and even have, you know, that organization in Juneau say, can you help us out? You know, how are you able to make that work and expand so much and keep it going in that model?
Well, there were different strategies at different times. In the beginning, in 1990, we were still in the age where Alaska was fairly flush with cash, and there were lots of different state funding opportunities available. So our real strategy in those early years was to be grant-focused and get state grant money. That money began to dry up a little bit in the early 2000s. And that's when we switched to federal, what we call HRSA dollars, which turned us into a federally qualified healthcare clinic. And that's been a great boon. And the federally qualified healthcare money from the federal government not only supported not only the medical but the dental and the pharmacy services here, but underwrote the cost of providing services on Northern Prince of Wales in Gustavus, and has supported the Front Street Clinic, which is targeted to, in the Front Street Clinic is targeted to the homeless population in Juneau. As resources, you know, there's always a cycle, you know, in what's available. And so a different strategy always has to be employed to maintain, you know, sustainability for services. So that's one of the reasons that we look to search, you know, as resources at both the federal and state level have begun to contract. Search looked like a great partner that would be able to weather the storm of financial difficulties. There'll be challenges for everybody, but I felt Search had the strongest business plan and the best financial basis going forward to help preserve what we had built here in Wrangell and keep a high level of services available to the community.
Yeah, maybe you can explain that just a little bit more. You know, what specifically were you seeing that attracted you to that option? You know, why do you say they had such a good business plan?
Well, tribal health care providers, and Search is a tribal health care provider. They receive funding from Indian Health Care Services. Have a number of different advantages over non-tribal healthcare providers in that they receive these federal dollars. They also receive other benefits that non-tribal providers don't have. For instance, their healthcare costs are lower because they participate in the federal health care insurance program, and size creates economies of scale that smaller organizations just don't have. And as our services became more complicated, things became more challenging for small organizations to do the many different things that are required of all providers, and Search's size and economy of scale help make those services less expensive per unit of service delivered. So it made sense over the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the transition, I mean, seems like it went really well for you guys, and you were, you know, a big advocate for Wrangell Medical Center to consider doing the same. Would you say how has it been working out?
I can't think of one complaint. I think it's been a fantastic boon to AICS and its sustainability and the services that we deliver to the community. I think WMC's merger is going to enhance that because it will reduce certain barriers. And, for instance, we'll soon have one electronic health record. We'll have fewer bureaucratic barriers between the two organizations so that the patient experience will be smoother and better. And it makes sense in a small community of 2,500 just to have one organization providing a broad continuum of services.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, thank you for that roundup. So the time is 1:14. Let's go to a short break, and then we will be right back. If you feel like calling in, now's your chance. 874-2345. All right, the time is 1:16. We have Mark Walker in the studio today to talk about AICS. So, Mark gave us a really good overview of how this organization has evolved. Mark, I would just like to learn a little bit more about, Yeah, just a little bit about what it was like for you as a practitioner, as a mental health practitioner.
Well, I really enjoyed that part of my career. I felt honored that people shared some of their life experiences with me, and that I could be a part of any kind of change process that they might need to make to make improvements in their life. Primarily, I was involved in individual therapy, a little bit of family therapy, but for the most part, it was individual therapy that we delivered both in Wrangell, Petersburg, and the community of Cake. And so I don't know what more to say, except I really enjoyed that part of my career.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine that any sort of health practitioners and even our social workers, our teachers, they get to really see what is happening in our communities when you're working with people individually. Yeah. So give me a sense of what you do for AICS now as an administrator.
Well, my new role initially upon the merger with Search was to be named the what we call the Southern Region Director. And I had an oversight role to the Wrangell-based healthcare services that we had developed as AICS. And I chaired the advisory committee that provided input to Search on a quarterly basis. About a year into the time of the merger, Search asked me to then become the director of behavioral health services for the consortium of Search. And since about a year and a quarter, that's what I've been doing. And I can talk a little bit about the various services that are included with that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you know what's happening in the mental health world, for sure. So yeah, I would love to learn more about what you've learned as an administrator and all that. But yeah, let's get right into what are the services that people can access on the island for mental health and and things related to mental health, such as substance abuse.
Well, I can describe the Search behavioral health system, and then Wrangell fits into that. And the Search behavioral health system consists of about five freestanding behavioral health clinics, and Wrangell is one of those. And our clinic here is, of course, across the street from here in the school. But there's also a freestanding clinic in Klawock, Craig, Juneau, Sitka, and Haines. The Front Street Clinic also is a behavioral, we think of it as a behavioral health clinic as well in Juneau, because of the population that we serve has a high rate of behavioral health issues, even though we provide behavioral health, primary care, and dental services out of that clinic. We have a presence, somebody that connects people to behavioral health services in the communities of Heidelberg, Angoon, Hoonah, and Cake. And then we provide itinerant behavioral health services in Klawock, Gustavus, Petersburg, Kassan, and Kaufman Cove. We have a residential youth program for kids that are having problems with substance abuse called Raven's Way in Sitka. And we, of course, have our wilderness therapy program, Crossings, here in Wrangell. some of the programs that we're working on throughout the consortium that will also be, some of them will be available maybe if not now in the future here in Wrangell, are our medication-assisted treatment program, which is really directed to those individuals with opioid problems. And that began in Juneau, and we're beginning to roll it out in Sitka. There are some of those patients here in Wrangell right now, and some in Prince of Wales. Most of those services are initiated and based in the primary care clinic because individuals have to see a prescriber for those services. But we, in various communities, attempt to provide behavioral health support and therapy to some of those patients as well.
So what medication are you all using?
The primary medication that's being used for people with opioid use disorder is called Suboxone or buprenorphine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a medication that basically enables individuals to get off of opioids and addresses the issue of problems with withdrawal and things like that. So it enables them to live a more functional life while they're on that medication.
And so if I'm in Wrangell and I'm part of this program, am I able to get, you said Suboxone?
Yes.
Okay, I'm able to get that here in Wrangell.
Yes, that is available here.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Okay.
We have a pilot program in Juneau for pain management, and that pain management is a collaboration between primary care, behavioral health, and physical therapy. We do a group assessment and a group recommendation to patients with managing their pain, and that's something that we hope in the future that we can roll out in both Sitka and Wrangell. Wrangell, I think, is well situated because we have a hospital here with a physical therapy department. There is no current planning for that here in Wrangell, but that's one of my hopes that can be developed here as well. We are starting what we call an intensive outpatient program for substance abuse for adults in Sitka and providing housing for individuals that participate in that program. That is just being formed right now, and we're screening folks for potentially being involved in that program. We're working with the Mount Edgecombe Medical Center to provide behavioral health support to bariatric surgery patients. We're implementing fetal alcohol syndrome diagnosis clinic in Sitka to help those individuals that potentially might have that diagnosis to identify them and make treatment recommendations. We're working with the shelter in Juneau, AWARE, to provide behavioral health support to that population, and we hope to expand our support to other shelters within Southeast. And finally, another one of our initiatives to have primary care integration, that is, in many clinics as possible, to place a behavioral health clinician that works directly with the medical staff and provides more immediate behavioral health response to those people that need it. Part of the rationale for that program is that the reality is that a high percentage of behavioral health services are actually delivered in the primary care clinic. People come and get different kinds of medications for depression and other issues, and having somebody immediately available to provide some short-term counseling sometimes provides an enhancement to the service that they need, they can benefit from.
Okay, so yep. So we learned a lot about what's happening in the region. You know, what do you see rolling out in Wrangell soon, sooner rather than later?
Well, we are recruiting, hope for a behavioral health provider that hopefully can be located at the primary care clinic. We hope to work with the primary care clinic to expand and continue to support their medication-assisted treatment program. In the future, we hope to begin looking at the possibility, based on what we learn in our pilot program in pain management in Juneau, how we might implement a similar program here. And of course, we'll continue to deliver the menu of services that are typical for a behavioral health clinic, providing individual counseling, family, marital counseling, group therapy, things like that.
Okay. Yeah. And let's just spend a little bit of time on the counseling services that are at AICS. You know, what exactly... If I want individual counseling, you know, what can I expect?
Well, you would come in and fill out what we call an intake packet, and you would see a counselor, and they would work with you to provide an initial assessment of what you feel are your needs, and develop a plan, and then from that point move forward with providing counseling.
How many counselors do you have?
We have two counselors right now. We have a third counselor that should be here later this month. And as I said, we're recruiting for a fourth counselor that we hope could be located at the primary care clinic.
Okay. And then I know a lot of people ask about this. You know, what is the difference between having a counselor that is maybe licensed in social work and having a counselor that is like a clinician?
Well, they're really the same thing. They're just, it's confusing because...
Or a therapist, maybe.
Well... A counselor and a therapist are really words that are used interchangeably in behavioral health. And I suppose in some circles, therapy is thought of as being somehow deeper and more significant than counseling. But we tend to use them kind of generically to refer to the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. But your counselors over there, they are more of these social work. They have social work backgrounds, or what
some
are their licenses?
Some have a social work background. Some have a psychology background. The different licenses are clinical psych, not in Wrangell, but for behavioral health, the different licenses are clinical psychologist, licensed professional counselor, marriage and family counselor, or licensed clinical social worker. All of them are able to deliver the basic therapy or counseling services. The clinical psychologists, depending on the level of their degree, sometimes are able to then deliver some psychological testing and some more precise, perhaps, diagnostic services.
Okay. Yes. So if I'm, you know, going over to AICS to get individual therapy, you know, they're going to assess my needs, what exactly it is that I have or might have, and then you know, treat me accordingly.
Correct.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, what can counseling look like for people? I think some people have no idea what that might even be.
Well, it...
You know, is it about, like, we're going to walk you through coping mechanisms? Is it about, you know, diving into your past and exploring trauma? Like, I mean, it could be any myriad of things, but what does it look like over there?
Well, actually, it could be a myriad of things, depending on you and how far you want to go, and on the issues that you're dealing with. So it can be as simple as learning some skills and that you might need to help manage stress or cope with various kinds of challenging social situations, or it can also involve looking into your past and going over issues that may relate to trauma or other things like that. So you travel a different path depending on the individual, what they want, what they're willing to do, and what their challenging circumstances dictate.
Right on. Thank you. And then before we head out, you know, you have been a practitioner. You know what goes into being a practitioner, but you... Right now, you're an administrator. You've been an administrator. What are some challenges that search or even mental health providers, you know, across the state are facing? You know, what makes your job tough?
I would say the challenge right now for behavioral health is adjusting to and also trying to figure out the direction that the state is going in supporting behavioral health services. The Division of Behavioral Health, which is the state authority overseeing behavioral health services, has applied for and received permission from the Center for Medicaid and Medicare, or what we call CMS, to implement what's called an 1115 waiver. And what that means is it gives them authority to restructure services. And they're restructuring services in a little, what I would call a little bit more of a managed care approach to services. Alaska has been blessed because of its oil wealth of not having to contend with many of the managed care kinds of systems that other states have dealt with, you know, over the last 30 years or so. And so we're seeing a little bit more of a managed care approach that the state is implementing. And we don't know how that's going to impact services. We're hoping that a lot will remain, that access to services will remain strong, but we just don't know. And we're going through a big changing process here. The legislature cut a fair amount from the Medicaid budget, and then in the governor's veto, there was another $50 million that was cut from Medicaid. Medicaid is a primary funder of behavioral health services, so we don't know how those cuts will be distributed and administered going forward. So it's an interesting time for us in behavioral health, as we try to adjust to things. I would like to give a clearer picture, but it's not really clear right now, and it just depends on how these changes and these budget cuts are implemented over the next year or two.
Okay, absolutely. Well, Mark, I would love to ask you some more questions. This has been a good talk. Thank you for coming on air, and yeah, thanks again.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So the time is 1:36, and we've been speaking with Mark Walker. He's with AICS, and we will be back next week, as always, with another guest. See you then.